We'll take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:14. Title of message, Ye Are Light. Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray together, please. And most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that You give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that we might shine as light, that we might pronounce and deliver and give the Word of God out, and that others might see the living Word in us, O Lord, that they could read us, that we be an example of the believer, that Jesus be honored and glorified, the church would stand as a beacon of light, that others truly would see Jesus Christ in this church and in our each one of us, that we might honor and glory Thee. We pray that You'd have mercy upon each one here, that we that are saved by God's amazing grace, that our lights would so shine, and those without Christ might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and become a light. We praise Thee and thank Thee in Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Title of message again, Ye Are Light, and there are many so-called lights in the world today, which are not lights at all. Only the Lord our God is light, pure, undefiled, and without shadows. Still have your Bibles open there in chapter 4 and 14, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light sprang up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so Jesus is the great light. And we see that Jesus in his earthly ministry, that people didn't see Him as light. And sometimes we get to thinking, you know, well, we're not making an impression, or others not noticing Christ in us or whatever. They didn't notice Jesus Christ, and He is the light of the world. He is the pure light. He says, saw the great light. And, of course, that's Jesus Christ. Many saints today have trouble being called light or being called sanctified ones. We kind of shy away, some do, from that, but that's what we are. It's not something that we did. It's what God has done for us, in us, and through us. And part of that, if you will, that we would shine as lights, that we not be hide our light in a dark place, put a bushel over the over the light, but that we put it in the house or out the window or in the rooftop, that others might see Jesus Christ in us, that we be enlighteners to the world, just as many are uncomfortable, as we mentioned, calling ourselves different things. But one of the things we should call us is that we are lights. And the Bible mentions us that we're salt and light, and we're just dealing with light today, but we are the season that's in the world today. And without that influence, the world would be a more wicked place than it is now. And without that salt, that season, that godliness, our country would be farther down the road to destruction than it is already. And we find about lights, I was thinking about LED lights. They come in various whites, warm, cold, daylight. And they're just, I was reading on the web, and they just had a list of all kinds of. And it depends on the voltage they put on it, and that's beside the point. And it's the same with Christians. Some shine brighter than others. Then some, if you will, are cast a short shadow, and the others cast a bright shadow. We think about our lights here. I think these are probably daylight, and probably what we had before was warm. And so there's a difference in the light that we have, and each one of us should desire that we be as bright as we can be for the glory of God. I don't know if you remember the older President Bush, he spoke of 1,000 points of light. a light, excuse me, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be a million points of light that we light, that we could shine into the world. And of course, he is speaking to volunteers and those that would do other things to help other people out. And this should be what we're like, that we would shine and help people, especially in their spiritual connection with God. And we think about Jesus Christ. We look for him to come again. And we shine, hold the fort down until he comes. We, if you will, we speak of the word of life, and Jesus is the word of life. This is the word of life. The Spirit speaks of the word of life. And so we're presenting life and not death, although we do need to warn the sinner that death is their end unless they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And we find, as lights are gathered together, they're brighter and brighter, and the church is a grander light than just one individual, that we shine as a more of a beacon of light than just an individual light. And the darker the world is, or the darker the surroundings is, then the more our light seen to penetrate the darkness. We can think about Ben, if you've ever been in a real dark room, and it don't take hardly anything to light it up. Sometime when I was a kid, you used matches, and of course that's not the safest thing to do, but it light up. You can see where you're going. And so we don't have to be a great grand light, if you will, but we should strive that our light shall shine before men, that they might see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And we're not to hide our light, put it in the bushels I already mentioned. This is meaning ye and ye alone are the light of the world. Now, only the saints of God are the light of the world. There's many false lights out there. They pretend to be lights, but they absolutely are just darkness. And so many fall for the darkness. Only God's saints are light. The Holy Spirit power is that light, if you will, that's in us. The saints of God, according to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord's teaching. And we, as we mentioned before, we're salt and light. And that's what Jesus called us. And so that's what we're to be. We're not to shy away from it. We are to understand that and take serious what Jesus has called us to do. What does the Bible mean by light? In 1 John 1:5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Amen. And so we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. We glorify the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We, if you will, we bring honor, or should bring honor, unto his name, and that understanding that God only is light. He is the master light, if you will. We are the little tingling lights that's scattered about here and thither, but we are to shine and reflect the light that God has given us in Christ Jesus. The light is not talking about light the sun gives off, but of godly truth and wisdom and knowledge is what it's speaking about, yeah. That we be ready to give an answer to any man that asks us for the reason of the hope that's in us, that we should be prepared, that others might understand, and we shouldn't get caught in a bad situation. Sometime you might be wanting to witness to somebody, but you put yourself in such a situation that they wouldn't listen to you. Or you've done something, you know, you think, well, this is almost hypocritical to do this, so we should strive to shine his light at all time. We find that only this light is a true light, and it just has an everlasting, lasting life. I talk about the LED bulbs. You know, some will say 22 years, you know, lifespan and all that. But our lifespan, the light that's in us, is eternal. And there's no darkening of us. We'll just shine brighter in glory than we do here. God calls the light, his Son, to shine on the hearts of men. There in 2 Corinthians, in the book of 2 Corinthians, in 4:6, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so it is to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to light up Christ, if you will, in us. And God has put that, has dispelled the darkness. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light shine in darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And of course, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And Paul speaks about being in troubles and trials and all the other things, but he was shining brightly. And sometimes that the harder you push somebody, then the brighter they shine, as Paul's case. When they stoned him, they did everything to try to put out his light, but he never did flicker. He didn't, if you will, he didn't give in to it. He just made him stronger to preach the gospel. When we are born again, regenerated, born on high, have the new birth, all the things that the Bible speaks of, been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, then we are light. And sometimes we see our light kind of small in the beginning, but as we grow in grace, wisdom, and knowledge of the Lord, then our light should shine brighter. And so the only in God's light can we see the truth. Psalms 6:36-9, for with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. And we think about that God only is light, and the world lies in darkness. And if our problem is sometimes we think the artificial light is sufficient, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that, that gives us light where we can see to get around, but that's not the light God is talking about. He's talking about that spiritual light that enlightens man, if you will, and that they might see the glory of God. We are God's light, not to be hidden. You're only be a light of Jesus if the Spirit has dispelled the darkness that's in you. And if he's dispelled the darkness within you, then what you have is light. And that we're not to hide it, conceal it. And I was thinking about when I work with people, I've told this story before, but when I was saved, they said, I was working at the power plant, and when I was saved, they, one of the things that I was reading, said, just pick out the most wicked, the worst person that you can think of and witness to them. And so I've made plans to witness this mechanic and machinist and the mechanic, and we went up on there and soot blowers, and we sitting there, and I knew I had him for an hour because he couldn't go anywhere, I couldn't go anywhere. So I started talking to him about the Lord, and he said, "Are you saved, Kelly?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'm a deacon at so-and-so Baptist Church," and I thought, what am I going to say? You know, I can't say repeat after me. I can't say, you know, anything. I didn't even, I don't think I said anything else to him. I was so flabbergasted, if you will. And here, he was, to me, the most wicked person in that plant. And the point I'm making is that a lot of times people present themselves as darkness and then claim to be light. If you're light, then you're not going to have that depth of darkness in there where you appear to be the most wicked person in your area. We should shine as light that God, they see the righteousness of God, the goodness of God, and if you will, that not we not bring shame against our Lord. In Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And sometimes our problem is we're scared to shine as light that others, we're afraid that they'll make fun of us or they'll not have anything to do with us. Now, if we think about our ancestors that gone before us, some were flayed, some were burned at stake, and just the most awful thing that you can think that one human being could do to another. That's what they did to our forefathers. And so we're not to be afraid. The Lord is our strength, and we need to look to Him for the grace. We don't have that grace. Somebody said, I just don't think I could do that, talking about the different martyrs and different things. And let me say to you, you don't know where you can or not until you're put in a position where it's going to happen. And God grants us the grace. It's like someone would say, well, I'm afraid of dying. They go and said, I just don't have dying grace. Well, you're not going to have dying grace till you're dying. And so God gives us the grace that we have need of in the time that we need it. We had mentioned Matthew 4, 16 and 17 about the Jesus Christ sat in darkness and saw great light, and the shadow of death, light is springing up. There in verse, we'll just read 16 and 17, verse chapter 4. And the people said, in darkness saw great light, and them which sat in the region, and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we was mentioning earlier, there's a lot of these so-called witness techniques of today. Repentance is one of them they just leave out. And yet, that was the cornerstone of Jesus' message, is what it was, that they would repent and that for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Somebody says, well, I don't need to repent. And the answer to that is, of course, you've got to be lost for you to be saved. Right. And if you don't realize, a person doesn't realize their lostness, then they have no hope till the time they know that they're lost and undone. And so Jesus shines with the great light. If you have not the, if you have the wrong light, then you're in darkness. Still, only can spread darkness. You can't spread light if you're dark. And in darkness, we look at Matthew 6:22, starting there. And the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so we think about this verse that speaking of the light, and speaking about the light coming in, and if the light that's in us is darkness, how great, how awful, how deep, how bad that darkness is. And so he's equivocating that our light sun. And if we have that light in within us, then he says it's like the eye that receives the light. But if you have darkness in there, there's no light at all. There's no stars. There's no moon. There's no sunshine. There's not anything there. Just dark. And it is the deepest or worst dark there is. In Isaiah 50:11, in the book of Isaiah 50:11, and we used this verse not too long ago, and behold, all ye that kindle the fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and then in sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. What is he talking about? Well, they kindled their own fire. They made their own light. And they say, this is what seems good to me. This is what seems right to me. To me, that's one of the worst things when somebody's talking about the scriptures, when they say, well, it seems like to me. And almost inevitably, yeah, I know sometimes people use that and they're right or correct. But normally they're giving their opinion of what the Bible says rather than what the Bible says. And we need not just our opinion of what it says, we need to know what God said. And we need to, if you will, be careful as we search out the scriptures that we not, if you will, look at it as if to find points, if you will, we can use to argue with others. Before the Lord saved me, I was a sometime debater on the scriptures, and And we'd argue different things, you know. And I was surprised at the time. And, of course, I thought I'd say too, but how few people knew actually what the Scripture said about anything. And they's all supposed to be Christians. And as I would argue with them, and, of course, I wasn't saved. I just, you know, what heard preachers say or other people say, but it was not from a conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I would get people, if you will, turned around on that, you know. And I thought I was doing a great deal, if you will. But, of course, it was evil and wickedness. The point I'm making is that we didn't know what God says. You can't be a good light unless you know what God's, not your opinion, not the pastor's opinion, not evangelist's opinion, but what God actually says. Yes, he uses all these different means that we might know what the Word of God says, preachers and teachers and so on and so forth, but it is those things what the Spirit of God teaches us is that which will be able to shine forth as light to the lost and dying world. If you're the wrong light, you're in darkness, still only can spread darkness, and if you have the sparks flying up, then they are like the devil's fire, if you will, and it has no lasting effect whatsoever. And so we're not to be looking to the sparks and to the make our own fire here and say, well, this is what I believe. You have to join our church. If you don't join our church, you're lost. And if you don't do this thing, you don't do that thing, you're lost. And if you do these things, you're saved. And that's making sparks in their own fire. And we're not to be one of those that do that. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in unity of the Spirit and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then the next verse talks about that we not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And so we are to grovel, we're to look, we're to dig, we're to seek out the light of God's Word until the time we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I studied that passage, a verse for a long time with a whole passage. And really it comes down to this, till when we become like Jesus Christ, then we have met what this scripture says. But until that time, until we come in unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, we're to keep on preaching, keep on looking. And let me turn there real quick and look at verse 2 before that in 2 Corinthians. I thought I could call it to mind, but I can't. So we'll go to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Ephesians. Looking at the wrong verse. Ephesians 4. 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the Spirit, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, who unto the measure or the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fittingly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body and edifying itself in love. And this effectual working, of course, is the Holy Spirit, effectually working the Word. So we'll need preachers, we'll need evangelists, we'll need teachers until we all come in the unity of faith and to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And so until Jesus comes, we're going to need all these fellows doing those things. And we're going to need the witness, if you will, to one another and strengthen to one another and effectually working that we all come together, unity of this faith. I would think that most Baptist churches, even small congregations or large congregations, that there's a different opinion on different scriptures. And it's not that that we are vicious about it, or that we, you know, that's just either way we brought up, or way we were taught, or way we understand it, or and we think about other passages, you know, that come in there, and that we are to come in unity of the faith. And so it'll shine as lights, if you will, as a congregation, but we need to understand that we can be made brighter. And we can be, if you will, more light than we are already, because we don't know everything and won't as long as we're in this earth. And this faith is not saving faith, but that what we believe about God and the things of God is the faith that's speaking about here. It is that faith once delivered unto the saints. God grow in knowledge of Jesus and should make us brighter light, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding the as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed from into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we're to take on the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to shine forth, if you will, that we might be a brighter light. The light of God will keep you from being tossed to and fro, as we mentioned before, in false doctrine. And those that have the knowledge of Jesus or the light of God can speak the truth in love, that we present the gospel even as Jesus did. And we see Jesus was not the same with every person. And we need discernment how we're to speak them. We see Paul said he came all things to all men. And let me say to you, he didn't say, well, I'm a Jew first, then a Christian. He said his motto, I'm a Christian, and whatever I must do to reach these people for Jesus Christ, what I'm going to do, he became all things to all men. But he didn't say he became lawless. He said without law, but then he mentions real quickly, not the law of Christ. And so that's the way we're to be. We are not to put our color, our ethnic background, our way of what we make, what we, you know, we don't want to witness the rich people, or we're afraid of them, or politicians, or we should have none of that. We should be able and willing to witness to anybody that God places in our path. If you are in Jesus, you're not in darkness, but in light. In 1 Thessalonians 5:4-5, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not in the night nor of darkness. It doesn't mean we know the day that the Lord's coming. We don't know the day of our death. We sometimes think we do, and sometimes people do. They say, you've got 5 minutes and that's it. But most of the time, we don't know the day of our departure, and we sure don't know when Jesus is coming. And before this service is over, Jesus, we could be meeting Jesus in the air. And so we are to shine as light that day shouldn't overtake us as a thief. He speaks about a thief in the night, but this is, if you will, in this passage, speaking about the coming of the Lord. And it says as a thief in the night. And let me say to you, the only ones he comes to as a thief in the night, he's just talking about coming in subtlety, that he comes at a time when people are not looking for him. And when he comes, it'll be a complete and total surprise, as if you would wake up and the thief's in your house. And so that's what it's speaking of. But let me say to you that us that are in Jesus Christ, though it come at a time we don't expect, but we're looking for it. And so he doesn't come to us as a thief of the night. He doesn't come to us a thief. We know he could come at any time, but he comes as a welcome guest, as one that's going to take us to glory. And so we're looking for him, but we don't know when he's going to come. He said that day shouldn't overtake you as a thief. And again, the emphasis I'm giving that is that we're the children of light and we're looking for Jesus to come. Even so, come Lord Jesus. If we're not wanting Jesus to come, there's something wrong with us. And we should desire that the Lord could come. God calls us children of light and to watch and wait for the coming of the Lord, and we are looking for him. We are called the children of day, children of light, and children of God. And we're called children of the kingdom. And we can go on to different things that God calls us. God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he's speaking about that we're a joy, that we're a chosen generation there in 1 Peter 2:9, and a peculiar people. And then it says, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Psalms 18:28, for thou will light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And as you probably know, I like that verse. I use it quite often, but and in Christ Jesus, the darkness is past. There in 1 John 2:8. 1 John 2:8. And it says, again, a new commandment write unto you, which thing is true in him, that in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And when he's talking about they don't know where you're going, people think they're going to heaven a lot of times, but they're not going. And that's what it's talking about. They know not where they go. And they think they're in light. They hate the brother. They despise him. And the scripture says that's murder. And God counts it murder. We know no murder. We enter the kingdom, it says later on in 1 John. And so they don't know where they're going because they're in darkness. They think they're in light, but they're not. And when the Lord comes, he'll come like a thief in the night. Jesus Christ is... His darkness is past, is mentioned, as we read in 1 John. And we know that we are of the light because we love the brethren. And we are to prefer one another over others. And sometimes Christians are hard to love. I wonder how they got that way. I mean, why are they in the midst? You don't think that the Lord put them there, do you? To try your patience, try your... whatever. I had a teacher say, he said, you go to some church and said, there'll be mean deacons there. And he just went through all the things in the church that want to listen to you. And he just said, so you leave that church. And you go to the other and he said, there they are. The deacon is sitting there. Church is looking at you with an evil eye. And his point was that God uses these things to, if you will, to increase our light. He uses these things that we might become more meanable in the hands of Almighty God and think less of ourselves and more of him. And so that thing which you think you can run away with from, you cannot run away from it. Whatever God puts in your life, you say, well, I'm not going to deal with this. Maybe move across country, but you find your next door neighbor just like the one you left, and maybe even worse. And the point I'm making is that these things are put in our path. Some Christians are not easy to love. And they're Christians. They're children of light. And yes, they may be immature, and we could speak all the different things, you know, that we could say about them that they need to learn. But nonetheless, if you will, God has put them in our path for a reason, and that reason is to teach us. And that we might, if you will, be able to love the brethren no matter how obnoxious they become to us. Sometimes we say, I just don't think they're saved. And then they'll do something, you think, well, I don't know if a lost person would do that or not. And the point I'm making is that everybody comes in our path is for our training. Whether they're lost or saved, God uses all these that we might shine brighter and that we might love the brethren as we ought to and prefer one another above others. The word is We are to let the light of Jesus shine. And we think about different things that people think that will let your light shine better. Education, money, psychoanalysis. And we could go on and on and on. And some people, you know, look for spiritual out. They go to the psychic and they look for a different one. They might go from church to church to find out one that they feel really like, or if you will, that's teaching them what they think they need. But let me say to you, the only way you can find that light is in Jesus Christ. And none of the world's fixes will fix it. And yes, there's a lot of churches that are accommodating today more than used to be. And so the world needs to see the light. In Luke 11:33, no man, when he has light in a candle, put it under in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on the candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. And we mentioned this earlier, but this is we're not to put it in a secret place, like opening the vault up and putting the candle in there and then shutting the vault door. That wouldn't do you any value at all. And if we want people to have a light, then we set it high where it lightens up the whole area or the whole light. We're to be a beacon, if you will, of light. Only as we follow Jesus can we have light. In John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I like that light of life. That's speaking about eternal life. And if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, in Ephesians 5:8, it says, for ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are light in the world. Walk as children of light. We all started out in darkness, and now we're the light of the Lord. If we've been saved by God's amazing grace, we're not to fellowship the unfruitful works of darkness. I mentioned in 2 Corinthians 6:14. And what does it mean, fellowship darkness? For what fellowship has righteousness with darkness, and what communion has light with darkness? And the light dispels darkness. And we're not to have anything to do with unrighteous works. It could be in the workplace. It could be, you know, sometimes people want to get ahead and do things that, if you will, that a Christian ought not do to get ahead. And so we're not to use the wisdom of the world to do and accomplish things for our own self, but we're to do those things that bring honor and glory unto God. If you're not looking and if you're not in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, then look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 50:10-11, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, ye all kindle a fire that compass yourself about the with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and sparks that ye have kindled. This shall be ye have, and of my hand ye shall lie down in sorrow. So we read the last verse before, but we want to see what it says here, and this is Old Testament, if you will. Some people say, you know, Old Testament doesn't have the gospel, doesn't tell us anything. It says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, obey the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and have no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That's faith. That trust is faith. We, just like Abraham believed God and was counted in righteousness, Isaiah said identically the same thing, that we are to trust the Lord. And that if we do so, then we'll what? We'll not walk in darkness, but in light. What is the answer to man's problem? You must be born again. There is a song, Something Worth Living For. And Jesus has given us something worth living for. But the world is living for something that's worthless. And for them to live for something that is wonderful, that is, if you will, that is worth living for, it is Jesus Christ. And we think, are you walking the salt and light of God into a lost and dying world? Has nothing worth living for. They have something worth living for, but they do not. Only we that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have something worth living for.